There's different opportunities. I really want to share this morning. It's kind of interesting. It's always nice to have a response before the message that goes right along with the message. So, last 2 weeks, Lee and I have not been here. It's kind of a weird thing. I don't think I've missed 2 weeks of this church in maybe about 10 years. So it's kind of weird. It felt like I've been gone for a while. But we got a chance to get away for a week. But as I was listening to the service online and got to hear Rick's message last week, and I really wanted to, I felt like the Lord, if you didn't know, Rick this week ended up having, I don't know if he ever even announced it, but he was having heart ablation surgery for the AFib that he's been trying to go through and deal with that. He got through it okay. He ended up having to go back to the hospital once. But he's back at home resting, so just be praying for them and praying for rest over him. That'd be a good thing. But it was really interesting as I was listening to what he was talking about. You know, it goes in line with what we've been talking about the last 4 or 5 weeks. And why don't you go ahead and put that up there, Mr. Brennan, if you can. But really, talking about this area of receiving, responding, laying aside, and practicing. We've been on this foundations of growth. If we're going to grow, anybody want to grow into the likeness of Christ? Yes. Okay, at least half of us. That's a good thing for a church, I guess. I mean, that's a good. At least half of us want to grow into his likeness. That's a good start. But I believe everybody's holding up their hand in the spirit, right? Because I believe that's what our destiny is. That's what we've been called to as a body, as a person, as an individual, but even as a body, to grow into the likeness of Christ. So if we're going to do that, what are some foundations? Well, we've been talking about those. We've been talking about the fact that I need to receive the word implanted that would save my soul, and receive from the Lord. And we talked about that. You know, we use these illustrations. I'll remind us of these. And you remember the $5 illustration, right? When Jesus is saying he is giving us things, a lot of times there's a reality that, you know, sometimes it's nice when, you know, you're praying and the Lord just kind of gives you something. Like, I mean, if somebody like just gives you a gift, you have no part in it, they just right hand it, like, we just got this nice little gift from the daycare, we receive it, you know. But the reality is that a lot of times the Lord is saying, I have incredible things for you. And okay, thank you. I have incredible things for you, and there is a response to that. There's a receiving, a responding, and the receiving, right? And then the second week, we kind of talked about responding. Like, if I'm going to receive something, it's great to receive it. Like, you know, I had the illustration of I brought one. I didn't bring all six this week. They bring the heaviest one. I'm not sure why, but, you know, these are great. You know, great as a tool in relationship to getting in shape or getting stronger. So I can receive that this will make me stronger. Does that do me any good? It does some good, because at least I've started the process that this is good for me. All right, if I don't even have that, I wouldn't even pick it up. But if I receive the fact that it's good, now I do have to respond if I'm going to get in shape, right? Ooh, wow. Need to get back in the gym with Chad. So this is getting heavier. It's funny how you lift for a while and then you stop and then you start going, man, that 25 was a lot lighter about a half a year ago. But I have to respond to it. And then last week, Rick talked about laying aside. And I'm not going to go on to the next one in practice. It's going to be an awesome one. It was tempted. But I felt like the Lord was saying, stay on this laying aside for a second. But practicing, you think about it in that Hebrews practice that we grow when we train our senses to discern between good and evil. You know, that there's this facet that because of practice, we train our senses to discern good and evil. So it's really important that we learn how to practice. We'll talk about that next week. But I really wanted to stay here this week because there's this facet of laying aside that I felt like the Lord. And it was kind of interesting when we went along with even what we just did as a response, because the reality was that if I'm going to enter a new season, what does that mean I have to leave? The old season. I mean, I can stay in the old season, but if I'm staying in the old season, the new season is passing me by, right? There's no, I can't stand in both, right? It was kind of this illustration that the Lord kind of showed me, and there's a reality that I really like this shirt because Leah got it for me about, it was almost 10 years ago, but it's getting a little worn out, but I still like to wear it, so I probably will still wear it. But there's a reality that it is kind of, it's the old season of reality of Mitch, you know. It is getting a little tattered and worn. If you come up close, it's a good thing both of y'all are back there so you don't see it. But there's a reality that really, if I'm going to get out of the old, I have to take off the old. Now, I do have a T-shirt under this, okay? It's actually a new T-shirt, by the way. Oh, shoot, I forgot about that. Can't do this illustration and have this in my pocket. All right. Wow, that's going to be interesting. Yeah. Now, the reality is I do have a T-shirt on. This represents the old, right? Now, as much as I really love this new T-shirt, this is new. It's brand spanking new T-shirt. You know, sometimes when we lay aside, this is what we look like, okay? But there's actually another response to laying aside. Like, if I just lay aside and put aside things, that's one thing. Just minusing things out of my life gets me to a place of feeling clean, right? It feels new. It's a new T-shirt. It's clean. But there's a reality that I'm still not fully clothed. Like, if I came to church in this, you'd probably be like, hey, Mitch, you kind of forgot the second part of, let me put this around, the second part of your outfit, right? Right? It's not indecent, but there's another step in this. When I lay aside the old, when I take things, and y'all did this last week, I think Rick took a hat and put it up here, and we were laying aside some things in order to move to something new, right? In order to embrace what the Lord has been speaking to us, what he is speaking to us, I sometimes have to lay aside the old. Now, the problem is that when I lay aside the old, what am I going to do, right? There is this other step into what? Picking up, taking on. I don't just lay aside to lay aside. I think we've kind of gotten sometimes in a habit of doing that, and we look like this. Now, the good thing is that this looks clean, looks healthier. You know, if I was saying that this represents my old way of life, if this represents my old way of thinking, if this represented my old way of doing things, if I try to take this into a marriage, does Leah want this? My old ways of stuff? No. Do you need as a friend or as a person in your life me to go around with this, handing you these versus this? And so Lord's saying you got to put aside things, but you also have to take things back on. And it was kind of interesting. I went and kind of looked at every scripture that Rick went through last week in relationship to laying aside. Do you realize that every one of those had a response to them? Every one of them. Every one of them had a response. New wineskin. What are you putting on? Because it's great to take off something, but it's also great to know what I need to clothe myself in. All right? So I really want to just go back through those four scriptures that he talked about. And so did you? Anybody not have a handout? If maybe Chad maybe or Stephen, if somebody could grab Jeff. Jeff and the crew came back from down at New Bern this week. Can we give it up for them? They went down to serve. They got down there and they had to do a live radio show, which was kind of funny. It was awesome. They videoed it. And they said, if you get on the website, you can look at it, or get on Facebook, the Dwelling Place page, you can see it. It's really cool. They went back down to help a church that basically was completely underwater in relationship, and they're having to kind of start over. They just finished the building as well, which is kind of hard tragedy there.
Button up my shirt while y'all are getting there. I don't want to feel unfinished.
I know. I was pretty surprised. I thought that we had done that illustration several times, and we were waiting. Yeah, we were waiting for somebody to get that. All right. Think about this. Let me read you two quick stories in relationship to this. This is a little history lesson. In 1845, the ill-fated Franklin expedition sailed from England to find a passage across the Arctic Ocean. I don't know if y'all ever heard of that. I had not, but think about this. The crew loaded their two sailing ships with a lot of things they didn't need, a 1,200-volume library, fine china, crystal goblets, sterling silverware for each officer with his initials engraved on the handles. Amazingly, each ship only took a 12-day supply of coal. Guess they thought they were getting there quick. For their auxiliary steam engines. The ships became trapped in vast frozen plains of ice. After several months, Lord Franklin died. The men decided to trek safely in small groups, but none of them survived. One story is especially heartbreaking. Two officers pulled a large sled more than 65 miles across the treacherous ice. When rescuers found them, they discovered the sled was filled with table silver. Those men, they didn't lay aside the things they needed to lay aside, did they? They didn't take the things they needed to take either. And they didn't get very far. Think about this. Alexander the Great, he was advancing on Persia. At one critical point appeared that his troops might be defeated. The soldiers had taken so much plunder from their previous campaigns that they became weighted down and were losing their effectiveness in battle. Alexander commanded them that all the spoils be thrown into a heap and burned. The men complained bitterly, but soon saw the wisdom of the order. Someone wrote, "It was as if wings had been given to them. They walked lightly again." So, I mean, there's even just realities of this in physical life where armies have tried to take things, expeditions have tried to take things into battle. And I don't know if y'all remember that we are in a battle, right? There is a reality that if we're trying to win a battle, we can't take just all the nice spoil of this land and try to take it in with us. It's about the Spirit. It's about the Spirit of God walking in that. So I want to talk about these four areas about, keep going to the next one. Oh, no, wow. That is not the PowerPoint that I sent you. See if there's one that can come up in relationship to a email I sent you this morning. Sorry, I did not go back and make sure that was the one that I had. But let me go on in relationship to this first scripture. If you can turn in your, there it is. Yep, there you go. Sweet. Think about this scripture. Rick talked about Romans 13:11-12 last week, I'm pretty sure. And so let me read this and take note of just the things that we're supposed to not only do from laying aside, right? But think about this. Do this, knowing that the time that is already that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. He's calling us from sleep, right? Somebody a little tired this morning. I'm gonna call you from sleep, right? The reality is that for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness. And there's a big and in that, right? So lay aside the deeds of darkness and do what? Put on the armor of light. So I can't just lay aside something without taking it on. I'll be like the white shirt, the undershirt. It's great, but it's not going to get me to maturity in Christ. It's not going to, the plain white shirt's not going to get me to a place where I am walking in a place of yes, thank you. It's always good to think through your illustrations about in relationship to where you're going. So there's a reality that, you know, I have to put on something in relationship to if I'm going to grow into maturity. So obviously you guys know this. Put on the armor of light, right? The armor of God, right? But think about, go on to the next scripture. Think about this, because we are in a battle. So I can't just take things into the battle of the old season, right? Anybody trying to go from an old season into a new season, I can't take the old stuff into the new. And so there's a reality. It says, finally be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might, what? Put on the armor of God. Now, I think some of us get trapped in like kind of the Sunday school years, right? Or I've kind of heard this forever. And it's not that I dismiss the armor of God. I just don't put it on. It's not that I don't know that it's necessary or believe that it's vital, I just don't take that extra step to clothe myself in it, right? It's not a duty every morning to make sure, although some of you probably do it, and it's a great thing. I mean, it's not a duty that every morning I get up and quote Ephesians 6 and try to take on the armor of God, although that would be an awesome practice to do, because it'd be a spiritual representation of taking it on every morning. But am I doing this daily? Am I doing this in the way I'm walking and the way I'm living, taking on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Do you know you're righteous? Are you taking that on? Do you know you have the shield of faith? We talked about that for about 3 or 4 weeks. You know, am I taking it up, or am I just kind of letting it sit by the side, trying to shield myself? Am I taking on the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God? Is it a sword in my life, or is it a book on a shelf? I mean, it has to be one or the other. So Lord's saying, take it up. Pursue it. Not only lay aside, but take up the armor of God, right? When we leave stuff behind, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to do what? Maintain a good, healthy life, or just get by? No, that we be able to resist. To me, resist means, no, wait a second. This is the kingdom of God here on earth. Wait a minute. This is life and life abundantly. Wait a minute. This is resisting, right? And sometimes it is a place of just standing and God seeing God do it. But resisting does take a firm action. So, and having done everything, I would do what? Stand firm. And so there's a reality to that. So the first thing in laying aside is making sure that I'm taking something up. Obviously, the armor of God is huge. You guys have known that one. I'm not going to teach on the armor of God. You've heard about it. It's a good teaching. But are you applying it? Am I taking it up? Am I taking that shield of faith up? Those are things that I just want to stir you in. Because if I'm going to go into a new season, I've got to take the armor of God with me. That new season is not... Anybody remember the season that the Israelites came out of slavery into going into the promised land? Right? You know, that was a whole transition. They needed something. They needed to get rid of some mentalities. They need to get rid of some things, the old slave mentalities, and go into the new land with warrior mentalities. And God was trying to get them to a place of living life, warring in the Spirit. And that's what that's us as well. You know, we have to take that into that new thing. Go on to the next one. Think about this. It's the same scripture right after that verse 12. We just read verse 12. Verse 13 says, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, sensuality, strife, jealousy. I mean, if you think about our world, I mean, it's funny that this was written how many years, thousands of years ago? And it describes what we're looking at right now in our world, right? And he's saying, do what? Put that off, not in strife, jealousy, but put on the what? You know, you would think, you know, I was even reading a commentary, you would think that he would just do the opposite of those six things, you know, but put on, you know, purity, put on this, that, and the other. But think about it, man, if I just put on the Lord Jesus Christ, do you think I'd take care of all of it? I mean, there's a reality if I put him on. Now, I know sometimes it's like, what does that mean? And we'll kind of look and see more of what that means, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we kind of get this, the Lord was really speaking to me this morning about, sometimes we live in this really weird age. We're in this land, you know, probably if you went back about 40, 50 years ago, probably the number one thing that we were dealing with and by the crisis was religiosity, right? You know, you get religion, you get, you know, just this, that, and the other. But I think the day and the age that we're living in now, it's anti-religion. It's like, I don't really want to look So Christ-like that people think that I'm a goody two-shoes, or, you know, and so we tend to go like, well, I can just kind of be of the world and in it, as long as I don't go too far, I'll just kind of associate with everybody and be okay, so everybody can be okay with me. And I'm like, wait a minute, pretty much if I put on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a difference in me. There's going to be a life-giving in me. I don't have to be religious about it. But there does have to be, there's something in us. I hope the Spirit of God is living in you. If you are a believer, right? The Spirit of God is in you. So you don't have to be religious or anti-religious. Just be Christ-like, right? Just be in the likeness of Christ. Like, that's the goal, right? And so I don't have to fear being this way or that way. I can be where Christ is. And I hope that's where we all want to be. Like, where he's at. Like, that's where I want to be. And I love that. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. There's a reality that's the enemy of our of this laying aside. The enemy wants to say, Mitch, you know, that shirt really looked good on you. You know, you can just kind of put a sleeve on. You're good. You know, doesn't that feel good? Yeah. See, I can still be white and half this, you know. I mean, I got it, right? I mean, this is what we look like sometimes as believers. You're like, Mitch, do you realize you have two shirts on? Yeah, right? Because I haven't, I've put something aside, but I've taken it back on. I've taken it back in. It's like, wait a second. No, lay aside. That's why Jesus even said, there is a difference. There's a laying aside and a taking on. There's two facets of that. The hard part is that there is a land in between, I really believe. And that's where you don't, like I said, it's better than nothing, but at the same time, you want to move from that. Like, you don't want the T-shirt. You know, you don't want to. You want to be fully clothed. Look at this next one. Go on there, Brandon. Think about this Colossians passage. That was Romans. This is the next passage that I think Rick had mentioned last week. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to adultery. So it's great if I just told you, hey, you should just get rid of all these things. Is that good? It's better than bad, right? I always loved it. When I used to work with youth, they were always, you know, we'd always kind of joke about music and joke about things or movies. And they'd always, the number one phrase is always, well, it's not that bad. Well, I'm like, well, it's not that, it's bad. It's just not as bad as the bad, right? It's bad. It's just not as bad as the bad. So there's a reality that, you know, it's better than nothing, right? To get rid of all these things is good, but typically that will land us in religion. Typically that will land us in, okay, I got rid of all these things and I'm good. I'm justified. I'm pure because of what I got rid of and because of what I laid down. But if you don't take this on, this is what transfers you from religion to life in Christ. This is what transfers you to a life full of Christ, a life that is full of, you know, joy in the midst of the crazy journey. You know, it's a life of peace in the midst of the crazy journey. It's a life of love in the midst of a crazy journey. You know, that you're able to walk that and do that. So think about this. And in them you also once walked. We all were there when you were living in them. Maybe some of us were way out here. Maybe some of us were over here. It really doesn't matter where you have been. The reality is we've all been somewhere in that chasm. But it says, now also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Abusive sleep. Yeah, put that aside. Maybe that was a word for somebody, right? Maybe you've been abusing sleep. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the what? Old self with its practices, right? So again, if I just stopped there, it would be a better than not, nothing. But it doesn't get me past really religion. It gets me to religion. God wants to get you to relationship. In relationship now goes on to the next slide, which is verse 10, I think. And having put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. See, we're supposed to take on something, and that is a new self. You know this. Like, you've heard it. You know, we are new creations in Christ. The old has passed away. The new has come. So, I mean, that's Christianity 101, right? So I'm not trying to teach you crazy. I'm trying to stir you to take it on. Like, really take it on. Like, there's a reality that we need to take on this new self. Because the new self is what? I love this. The new self is according to the image of the one who created it. Do you know if you take on the new self, you are taking on the image and likeness of God? You are taking on the very who he is, right? You're not going to become God, but you're going to become like him, into his likeness. That's the goal. That's our heart. You know, that's the challenge. And I love it. It's a renewal which there is no distinguish between Greek and Jew. Anybody want to know how that statement in a biblical time was huge? It's not so much in nowadays because we don't really think Greek and Jew anymore. You know, a little bit, but we don't think that direction. You know, you think about circumcised, uncircumcised. I mean, again, two vastly different. You know, if you went in the Old Testament and you went back in the Jewish days, Jew versus Gentile, those type of interactions, man, they were tough. They were big. They were bigger than what they are now. Barbarian, Scythian, slave, free men, but Christ is all in all. So I don't, the Lord's saying, I don't have to compare or contrast myself to anybody anymore, that I can take on the new self that is created into his likeness. So the problem is if I have any of my old self in there trying to, it will actually try to corrupt what the new self is trying to declare into me, into his image. Because my old self is not in the image and likeness of God. I hope y'all know that. My old self is in the image and likeness of who? Mitch. My flesh. Everything that I could obtain, you know, on my own. All right? And so there's a reality that God wants to renew you into the fullness of putting on the new self. Like, remember, removing the old self, putting on the new. Think about this in relationship to the new self, because this goes on to verse 12, I think. Go on there. Yeah, this 12. So think about this. You need to also lay aside, because you got to take on something else, right? The new self. What does that new self look like? Well, it looks like his heart. It looks like his love. I love this. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. See, there's a reality that I have to receive that. That's one of those, you know, receivings. It's the $5. If I don't have my $5 anymore, but holy. Who wants it? You know, beloved. Who wants it? Who wants it? Yeah, if I had the $5 and everybody's chasing after it, that's what I want to see. But I'm not so sure we're doing that in the spirit. Oh, chosen, yes. Holy, beloved, yes. I get to take that on. That's mine. That's mine. I hope it's yours too. It's mine though. We don't have to fight for it because he gives you as much as he gives me, but there's a reality of it. It is something to be received, right? So it says, put on, I love this, God's heart, right? The reality is that put on God's heart. Put on a heart of compassion. Some of you don't believe that you can be compassionate. I really feel like that. I felt that in the spirit. Some of you feel like, man, I just don't really have a lick of compassion in my heart, in my life. You know, I kind of leave it all out there on my sleeve, and I kind of put it all out here, and I really don't, man, wait a second. The Lord's saying, put on a heart of compassion. Why? Because it's yours. It's who he is, so it's who you are. It's your, you can be your identity as well. Look, I love this. Compassion, kindness, humility. If you want to learn about humility, Rick's teaching an awesome class on Wednesday nights. If you're not here on Wednesday nights, there's also hearing God. There's also putting your love on. There's also worship and prayer. There's also something else. Oh, first things first, and there's also, is that all? Oh, yeah, worship dance. So if you want to do any of those things and walk in the, with some people in it, come on Wednesday nights. Humility is a good one to learn about, right? Gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. This is who we are. This is who you are. If you don't receive it, though, will you receive that? You can bear with one another, forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against you, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, do what? Put on love. It is the perfect bond of unity. Anybody, don't raise your hands. Anybody not in unity with somebody in your life? Is there a relationship in your life that's not in unity? Is there a relationship with maybe a body of believers that's not in unity? Is there a relationship with God that's not in unity? Do you know you have the resource to put it in unity? Do you know you have that resource? If you know God, God is love. We know love because he first Loved us. So you have it. Okay, not some of us haven't used it as much as others. That's we're all learning. We're growing in this, right? But you can put it on, and it will create an arena of unity like you've never seen. And I just believe that some of our greatest struggles with relationships, our greatest struggles with other people, I really believe that God's saying, put on love. What does love look like? Go to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm not going to quote it, but if you can tell me that you've done all of those things, 1 Corinthians 13, you know, love bears all things, endures all things, believes all things, you know, love never love this, that, and the other, right? If you can, this is just a litmus test. I encourage you to do it. Tell me that you can do all of 1 Corinthians 13 and go to that person and not be unified with somebody, and the reality is, I know other people have their own realities of their own life, but I really believe God, if you put on love, it will create an atmosphere of unity like you'll never believe. And you keep loving, even if somebody doesn't love you. Anybody ever watched, that's one of my favorite, again, it's not that well done of a movie probably, but Fireproof, anybody remember that? I love that movie. Why? Because it's just the reality that I'm going to keep loving when somebody isn't loving me. And I haven't loved them very well, right? He didn't love his wife very well for, I don't know, however, 10, 15 years. But he decided he was going to love her. He was going to keep loving her even when she threw everything back in his face. And what happened at the end? Her heart began to change. Why? Not because of, you know, he got the other person right. They got themselves right. He put on love. He put on love that was going to love no matter what. No matter what the other person did, I'm going to love. Do that 1 Corinthians 13 challenge. I encourage you. Remember, forgetting and wrongdoings. I mean, it's a pretty stacked scripture. Do that. All right, I got to keep going though. All right, keep going. Put on his heart, his love. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Go on to the next one. That one. All right. Think about this one in Hebrews, because I want to get through all these four. Hebrews, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance, what's that word? Weight, right? Every weight or sin that easily, what? Entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. All right? Not only are we in a battle, but the reality is we're also in a race, right? And God's saying, run the race. What's going to keep you from running the race? Every weight and sin that is keeping us. Why did Rick have us lay aside things? Because it's weighing us down from running the race. And I feel like, man, I had to kind of look at myself in this, and I started saying, Mitch, have you kind of got regulated yourself to finishing? Anybody? Don't raise your hands, all right? I don't want you to feel condemned, but I would raise my hand with it. So, I mean, I could raise my hand with you, and so you don't feel so bad, but have you regulated yourself to just finishing this race of life? Because if you are, we're not following scriptural premises, right? Look at this next one. We'll come back to that one. Flip. Do you not know that all those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? How are we supposed to run? Run in such a way as you're going to what? Win. I don't know. I mean, we've kind of gotten into a I won't get Daniel started on this, but we've kind of gotten into a society of participation trophies, right? Like, you know, that's fine for rec league. I mean, it's fine, you know. But there's a reality that it really breaks down this facet of wanting to win. And I don't know about you, I'm very competitive, and I like to win. And when I'm not running to win, it's not a good thing for me. Because I get passive, I get self-centered, I get looking at myself, I get like, oh my gosh, like the world's falling apart. Like, I mean, it does. I mean, it can go from a great Sunday to a horrible Friday, like within 5 days. Why? Because there's a reality that I'm just stopped running to win. And I don't know, I've really felt this strong too. God's going to empower some of you to step back into that place of running to win. Like, he really wants to exalt to you, your heart, your spirit, to a place that you're running to win. You're not running to finish. You're running to win, right? And I appreciate that. If I had to run in a 5K right now, I would just be finishing, right? I would be running just to finish. I'd probably be walking most of it, all right? I'd be walking most of it. But the reality is, in this life, God has equipped us to run, right? And win and live that. All right, go back to the other one. Ooh. All right. Lay aside every sin and weight, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. For the joy set before you, you endured the cross. Do you know that? That you are the joy? Have you received that? It's the $5. He's handing it to you today. You are the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross for you. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior today, he's saying, you are the joy that was set before me. This can be a really good season for you. Like, if you don't know Christ, this is a great new season because it was, I'm coming out from the old and going straight into the kingdom of God. That's a great place. But I don't want to stop here. I want to get into the likeness of Christ, right? Just because I stepped into his kingdom doesn't make me totally like Christ. That's a process. That's a growing into the likeness of Christ, right? And so I encourage you, if you don't know Christ today, that is your new season today. You can do that. And I encourage you, we'll make that a prayer point at the end. Yes, keep going. All right. All right, so let me just flip a couple of these more. This is down in that same scripture, verse 12. Therefore, if God has gotten you to this place of laying aside every sin and weight, then there's a response, right? What does he tell us to do at the end of that? He tells us, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. There's a reality. That's why we do healing. That's why we do inner healing, to get people that are out of joint back into joint so that then they can walk straight. We can walk in a path of life. But I think, going to the next scripture, I think the reason I put this in here, I think some of us get in this place that Peter was, that he could have stayed. You know, think about this. You know Peter. He could have stayed in his season of mistake. Like, he had a season. You know, he said, I'll go to you, you know, with you to death. And then all of a sudden he did what? Denied Christ three times, right? But this is before he even did it. Jesus was already speaking into him. He was already saying, lay aside. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Lay it aside, all right? When you get there, lay it aside. Watch this. Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have gotten up, what does that mean? I fell and I have gotten up, right? Do penance. Like, make sure that you get really religious and do all the good and right things before you can do anything, right? Is that the way that goes? No. No, he says, when you get back up, do what? Strengthen your brothers. Like, go love on somebody. Go encourage somebody. Do you know each one of us can put on a heart of kindness? Each one of us has something kind you can do for somebody, a call, a text, an email, I mean, whatever that looks like, dropping something off of the house. Do acts of kindness. That could be a good start of just practicing what we'll talk about next week, a practicing of these things. All right, so healing, that God wants to bring healing, lay aside this, pick up that you are a minister of life and healing, not only to yourself but to others. Go on to the next one. I love this one. It's just all in that same passage. This is a response, right? When we lay aside, we have to respond. What are we going to, if you lay aside unforgiveness, that means you had to forgive somebody, right? That means you had an issue with them. What if I just sat, all right, I'm going to forgive. And I'm just going to do, is that this picture? What if I forgive somebody, doesn't mean I just have peace with them. God wants in your heart, most of all, maybe sometimes there is a physical representation of that. He says, pursue peace with all men. Like, again, I'll ask you, are you at peace with every person in this place? Are you at peace with every person in your life? You know, there's a facet that God wants you to pursue peace. Again, that doesn't mean it. I love this next scripture. Go back to the other one. I love this. This is our responsibility. Go forward. It says, see to it that no one, see to it is that us or them? That's a us thing, right? That's our responsibility too. Our responsibility to see, is my responsibility has been to see to it that Ben doesn't fall short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness would come up in his heart and spring up and cause trouble for many, right? There's a reality that's why I want to pursue peace, because bitterness, when peace is there, bitterness can't stay, right? Bitterness can't stay. Keep going. I love this one. Never pay back evil for evil. Respect what is right in the sight of God. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with what? All men. That's just a call for our life. That's tough. In this day and age, in any day and age, that's why he puts it. This is thousands of years ago, but it's so applicable for each generation, because each of us deals with things in our life where all of a sudden our relationships, things in our life get out of peace. And God wants to bring us back into peace, right? Be at peace with all men. As so far as it depends on you. That doesn't mean if I have something issue with Joe and I create an atmosphere of peace, that doesn't mean he's always going to respond to that. But I have to respond in creating that atmosphere. As far be it from me. All right? So that's what the Lord is saying. All right, last one. Laying aside in order to put on a renewed mind. Think about this. You did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, right? That in your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted. If you want to keep this, guess what happens? This corrupts. This has lusts of deceit on it. If you think that you cannot be deceived and hold on to this, you're deceived. There's a reality. This is what this carries. So if I stick my arm up in that, I have to know that my arm can be deceived into whatever it wants to do, whatever it desires to do. It's got that on it. It's corrupted. Think about this. In accordance with us, and that you be renewed, where? In the spirit of your mind. It's really interesting. This Rick had this, I was thinking about this, Rick had this heart ablation. Does anybody know what that is? I didn't. Okay, a few of you. I shouldn't try to describe it in the midst of a PA, physician's assistant. I think, or maybe you're up more than that, I don't know. But there's a reality that a heart ablation, again, I just Googled it, so I didn't get any professional. But it's where they actually destroy the tissue in a heart that's creating a bad electrical impulse into the heart. It's creating AFib, which is what Rick's been dealing with. His heart is going out of sync, right? So there's a reality that God wants to take pathways that have been influenced with this, and he wants to get rid of them. He wants to ablate them. Right? Is that a word? Can you say that? Ablate? Sweet. I like that, man. That might be my new preaching word, ablate. You need to be ablated, right? Whatever that means. sorry. And be renewed and put on these. So the reality is this, putting on the spirit, the new mind, like a renewed mind that has been created in righteousness and holiness, I have to lay aside my old thought processes. When I got saved, even as a young believer, even as a mid-range believer, even as a older believer, I don't know what all that means, but there's every step I've taken, I've realized I've had stinking thinking that I've had to deal with. I needed some ablating in my mind. Like, that needs to be totally cut off. Like, if you don't believe that God loves you desperately, incredibly, irrationally, then that needs to be ablated from your mind. If you can't believe that you are a important, critical body of the important part of the body of Christ, that needs to be ablated from your mind. If you believe that you can't connect with people, or you can't do this, or I can't do that, that needs to be ablated, because I'm pretty sure I can do all things through Christ. Wow, so there's a lot of ablating that needs to take place. Why? Because I got to get rid of this and take on this. This begins to transform my mind, my thinking. I'm a different thinker. But sometimes I want to take up these thought processes because they feel very relevant, or they feel good, or they, you know how these things make us, anybody do that? Start hugging, it's like you use this as like your old blankie, and you're like, man, I know it's not true, but it just feels so good. I know it's a lie. It really just makes my, fills all the holes in the heart, right? It doesn't. It fakes us out into believing those. And so I just encourage you, throw it off, all right? I'm going to stop there. There's four other passages that you can look at that I put on there, examples, like a Sarah. You know, you can go into Hebrews 11 passage. Sarah, she received the ability to conceive after the proper time of life because she considered God faithful. She got rid of some ablating in her heart, ablating in her mind, right? There's no way that can happen. There's no way that can happen. There's no way I can be the father or mother of many nations. There's no, yeah. Wait a second. God, you're faithful. Wait a minute. If you're faithful, I can do all things. That means I can be the mother of many nations. Sarah received the ability to conceive. Abraham received, in the next passage, Abraham received this inheritance. He stepped out of where he was at, his comfortable season of life, and he said, I've got to go somewhere and I don't even know where I'm going. Jesus asked him to go. And he says, your inheritance will be there. Okay, so I've got to lay aside what? Fear. I got to lay aside comfort. I got to lay aside passivity. And I got to take on the new. You know, you think about Moses. You know, he had everything in his capacity. He had, he was in line to be Pharaoh, for goodness sakes, the most powerful man alive, right, at the time. He was in line for that. He had pleasures. He had all these things. He had to what? He laid aside. It even says that he laid aside pleasures so that he ended up taking on ill treatment with the people of God rather than that. He took on, you know, some of those things. And so that's huge. Paul, think about him. There you go. I haven't already obtained it, but I haven't laid hold of, I search to lay hold of Christ. What do I have to do? To lay hold of Christ, I have to do what? Let go of the things behind. And I press on to the upward call. And so I really believe we've already had kind of that call to a new season this morning. I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to have can you just come play for just a second? I felt like the Lord, unless, do you have anything? Y'all have anything? Ben? I really felt like the Lord said, all right, there's, number one, I want to pray for somebody that doesn't know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord as your Lord and Savior this morning, it's a new season. It's a brand new season of life. And God, so can I have the prayer teams up as well in case we have some of those people? But I want us to stand because we're out of time. And I want to pray something over you. And if you've already responded, you can respond again. I encourage you to. But I just want you to close your eyes. And I just want you to, this morning, if you feel like you're in this place, that you're in this season that you have laid aside, but you need to take on something. You need to take on the new season. You need to take on the new reality of what God's speaking to you and declaring to you. I'm just going to get you to raise your hands. If you came and responded this morning, just raise your hands because you're already in that place. And so, Lord, I just want to just pray right now in Jesus' name. If you just want to lift your hand just as a declaration. God, I just pray for every hand raised, God. I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would just begin to empower them. Lord God, not only just to lay aside, that's one step, but God, I just pray the empowerment to take on the new self, to take on a brand new renewed mind, an ablated mind, Lord, according to the flesh and taking on everything of the Spirit, Lord. I just pray in the name of Jesus that we would be able to take on the full armor of God, that we'd be able to resist, and not only resist, but we would overcome and stand firm in this day, in this season, in this time, because you've called us as a body to do that. Yeah. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would help us to, Lord, take on the Lord Jesus Christ. You tell us to take you on, Lord, and I just pray we'd be able to put you on the fullness of your righteousness, the fullness of who you are, the fullness of life in you. God, that we begin to take it up. It wouldn't be a religious exercise. It's actually a supernatural impartation of life that begins to transform us as soon as we walk out this door, God. I just ask for that. I just pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would just awaken that in us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So I just want to just keep your eyes closed this morning. I believe that somebody in here just need to make a declaration of Jesus as Lord, to transfer yourself out of that season of living in a dark place, a hard place, and live in the kingdom of the beloved Son. Anybody in there? Just raise your hand real quick and you put it right back down. Anybody this morning? Thank you. See those two hands. Amen. Anybody else? Three. Anybody else? Come on. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. And so, Lord, I just pray right now in Jesus' name. We just agree with these brothers and sisters that say yes to you this morning. They say yes to saying, God, I'm tired of the old man. I'm tired of living in this old man according to my own ways. I've got to take that shirt off. I've got to take that life off and put on your life, your truth, your goodness. And we just thank you for that. We bless you for these men. We just say yes. And Lord, we just declare life in and over them. And so, Lord, we bless you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask several guys if y'all could come up and pray with somebody afterwards. That would be awesome. Come find me. Come find Joe, Leah, anybody. If you raised your hand this morning I didn't see, please come. We want to pray with you. We want to agree with you. All right? Anybody else that needs prayer for anything this morning, come find prayer. Otherwise, you're released. Go forth in the taking on, putting off and taking on. Amen?